Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Now, verse 4 is my text verse this morning. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us be in this place this morning. It's so good to be back in your house with your people. And we just rejoice that we can come together again and we can fellowship together. We can sing together. We can hear your word taught and we can hear your word preached. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you'll bless this part of the service. You've blessed what we've already experienced, but that you'll bless this part of the service. That, Holy Spirit, you'll speak to our hearts and our minds and our souls, and you'll show us how we can have a closer relationship with our God. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that, Holy Spirit, you'll speak to them. Show them their sin. Show them their need for a Savior. Have them and help them come to Jesus this morning. Bless Marianne as she sings again. Father, use the message of her song to prepare our hearts even further for the spoken word. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Again, I want to direct your attention to Psalm 25, verse 4 this morning. That'll be our text verse. And as I start, let me point out to you that, and you know this if you've read the Bible at all, there are some people in the Bible that had a more intimate relationship with God than others. Moses, for an example, had a more intimate relationship with God than most other men or people in his day. In Psalm 103, verse 7, the Bible says, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." The children of Israel saw God's acts. They saw what God did. I mean, they saw the plagues that he brought on Egypt to free them from Pharaoh. They saw the dividing of the Red Sea as the Egyptian army was behind them and mountains on either side and the Red Sea in front of them. They saw as God parted that sea and let them go over on dry ground. They saw God's acts. They saw God feeding them 6 days a week with manna. Double the portion on Friday so they wouldn't have to gather on the Sabbath. They saw that. They saw Moses strike the rock. Did it twice. He was only supposed to do it once. And water come out of that rock to give them water to drink. They saw as certain men rebelled against Moses' leadership. And God opened up the earth and swallowed them up. And so the children of Israel saw the acts that God did. But that verse from Psalm 103 says that not only did Moses see his acts as the children of Israel did, he also saw his ways. He saw what made God, God. He had a more intimate relationship. And God let Moses see not only the things that God did, but the things that God was. The things that made God, God. Moses got to see that as well. David is another example of a person who had a close, intimate relationship with God. I wish I could tell you that David never wandered away from God, that David never sinned, but we know that he did. We know that he committed horrible sin. But he asked God forgiveness for that sin. And even after that sin, David had a close, intimate, personal relationship with God. And in Psalm 25, verse 4, he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." And then 10 words in our English verse, but in that verse is the secret for how all of us can have a more intimate relationship with God. And so this morning, I speak to that group of people. The group of people that are here that want to have a closer relationship with God. I believe that ought to be every one of us. I believe that ought to be every Christian. I believe that that ought to be every born again believer in Jesus Christ, that we want to have a more intimate relationship with Him, that we want to get closer to Him. Brother Bill mentioned in Sunday school that sometimes God sends tribulation into our life and He sends hardship into our life, and it's a time of testing. God wants us to become more like Jesus. And the closer we get to God, the more that we'll be like Jesus. So I want to just share a truth that's in this verse. Now, the truth that's in this verse will not only help us get closer to God, but it'll get closer to those people that God has put in our life. It'll help us get closer to our spouses, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our friends, if we'll just heed the principle that's in this verse and put it into practice. The principle in Psalm 25 verse 4 revolves around two words. The words ways and paths. Ways and paths. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Now, the word path means the road that you're on, the destination that you are headed for. That's what the word path means. It means the road I'm traveling, but it means where I'm headed to. Now, this morning, my path was church. And so I turned out of the subdivision. I turned left on Clio Road. I came up about 3 miles, and then I turned into the parking lot at church. We had the same path this morning, all of us. We may have taken different roads. We may have taken different streets. We may have taken different routes to get here, but we all had the same path. We all had the same destination. Our destination was this place. Our destination was this building. Our destination was church. Now, the word way, so that's the word path. The word ways means something different. The ways are the things that we do that make us us. Okay? So the path is our, in this verse, is the destination. The word ways are the things that we do that make us us. It's the idiosyncrasies that we have as individuals. It's the way that we do things in our life. So here's a crazy example. How do you squeeze the toothpaste tube? Do you squeeze it in the middle? Or do you do what the Bible says and squeeze it from the end? Yeah, yeah. No, it doesn't say anything about the Bible, about how you ought. Briggs, don't listen to that. Cancel that out. Preacher's just kidding, okay? There's nothing in the Bible about how to squeeze the toothpaste tube. But listen, that's one of the things I'm talking about. The things that you do to make you you. How do you squeeze the toothpaste tube? Are you organized or unorganized? And again, I could go with example after example, but you get the gist. How do you do things? Those are your ways. They're the things that make you you. God has ways. He does things that make Him God. And if you really want to get close to God, you have to not only learn His path, you have to learn His ways. That's why David says, God, I want to see both. I want to see your paths. I want to be going in the same direction you are. I want to be going to the same destination you are. But I also want to see your ways. I want to see the things that make you you. And if we want a close, intimate relationship with God, we got to be headed in the same direction to the same destination that God is. And then we need to learn His ways and conform our ways to His ways. Our ways to His ways. Now, there's four groups of people in the world today. There are people that are on the wrong path with the wrong ways. They are headed to hell, and they're living like it. They don't know Jesus as their Savior, and so they're headed to that place of eternal damnation, hell, and they're living like it. They're headed to live eternally with the devil, and they're living for him right now. Those people don't have any chance at all of having a close relationship. They don't have any chance at all of having any relationship with God, let alone a close relationship. Okay? So, wrong path, wrong way. There's a second group of people. Wrong path, right way. Still headed for hell, but they're decent, moral people. Maybe they come to church. Maybe they read the Bible. Maybe they love their family and treat their family right. Maybe they pay their bills. Maybe they're a good neighbor, a good citizen. They vote. They pay their taxes. But they're not on the same path that God is. They don't have the same destination that God does. You see, God's path leads to heaven. The destination that God wants every person to have is heaven. And those people may be decent, they may be moral, they may do good things, but doing good things and being moral and living right will not change your path. The path of God leads to heaven. The path of God leads through the old rugged cross. The path of God leads by Calvary. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And what he was saying is, hey, you can be a wonderful, decent person that appears to fear God, and you may live right and do right, but until you come to the cross, until you come to Jesus, until you ask him to be your Savior, you're headed to a different place than God wants you to head. You see, God's not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to go to heaven, but you don't get to heaven by being good. You don't get to heaven by your ways. You get to heaven through Jesus Christ and him alone. Just Jesus. Now, there's a third group of people. A group of people that's on the right path, but they have the wrong ways. They've been saved. There came a time in their life where they realized that they were a sinner and that there was a penalty for their sin, and that penalty was to be separated from God. They realized that Jesus died for them. Jesus paid the price for their sins. And there came a time in their life where they asked Jesus to be their Savior. So they're headed for heaven. But this group of people don't have the ways of God. They're living like the devil. They might come to church, but only occasionally. They hardly ever read the Bible. They never help anybody. Oftentimes they're unkind, untruthful, and unforgiving. Now, they're closer to God than those that are not on the right path. I mean, they're closer to God than those that have been saved, but they'll never have a close, intimate relationship to God until they conform their ways to God's ways. Now, let me just give you an example. Micah Stanley got married yesterday to Kaylin, and so I had the privilege of doing the ceremony. Their path, their destination ought to be, and I told them this in the ceremony yesterday, till death do you part. Husband and wife, till death do you part. That ought to be the path, the destination for every marriage. I reminded them. I said, hey, you're repeating your vows to one another in front of your family and your friends. You're repeating those vows to one another in front of a preacher. But you're also repeating your vows to one another in front of God. And if you've been to my weddings, I say this to every bride and to every groom. And so when you say your vows in front of God, it makes them holy vows. Vows that God is going to hold us accountable for, because we've promised our spouse, and we promise God, we are going to stay together until you part us by death. And if you're going to have a close, intimate relationship with your spouse, you have to be on that path. Both of you. And until both of you get on that path, you're not going to have that close relationship that God wants you to have. I mean, if one or both of you think, well, if this doesn't work out, if this doesn't suit me, I can just end the marriage. I can just get a divorce. Look, that's not the path that God wants you to be on as a husband and wife. He wants you to be committed to one another. He wants you to have the attitude and the determination and the goal that says, hey, I promised you, I promised God, I'm staying in this till God parts us by death. I'm staying in it. Now, that's half. That's half of the equation. The other half is to acknowledge, okay, and understand that your spouse may have different ways than you do. Now, I've counseled young couples. I've heard one or both of them say, well, she does something that I don't entirely agree with, but when we get married, I'll change that. I've heard young ladies say, well, he's not quite what I want him to be yet, but I'll change that. And I always say, good luck with that. Because I've counseled people that have been married a lot of years, and they've said, I tried to change him, it didn't work. I thought I could bring about change in their life. Hey, look, you're going to have different ways. You may like to squeeze the toothpaste from the end. She may like to squeeze it in the middle. You may like him to pick up his socks. He might like to throw them on the floor. I mean, and look, I could go, you that have been married for a while, you know what I'm talking about. We have different ways. And I'm not saying that, now in God, I'll say it for God. For God, we ought to conform our ways to his ways. That's how we have that relationship. I'm not suggesting this morning that husbands, you conform to your wife's ways, or wives, you conform to your husband's ways. I'm just saying you need to acknowledge that they may be different, and in spite of those different ways, you're on the same path, and you're going to stay on that path, and that's staying married till death do us part. Okay? Now, there's a fourth group of people. This is the group of people that God wants us to be in. Same path, same ways. Headed for heaven, prayed like David, show me thy ways. And instead of trying to change God, we say, okay, God, I see your ways. I'm going to conform my ways to your ways. Let me tell you something this morning, and you might not hear this too often. God is a stubborn God. God is not going to change his ways for our ways. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. I quoted the verses in Hebrew, in Sunday school this morning in the open assembly. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is not going to change to conform his ways to our ways. His expectations is that we will change our ways. We will conform our ways to his ways. Instead of trying to change God's ways, I say, Lord, show me your ways. That's the way I'm going to follow. That's what Moses did. That's what David did when he had a close relationship with God. And that's what we need to do today. All right, so that's my introduction. Now, here's my message. I have a 5-point message this morning. All right? What are some of the ways of God? What are some of the ways that God says, hey, we're on the same path, we're headed to heaven. And by the way, if you're not on that path this morning, you can be. You need to come to Jesus Christ, admit you're a sinner, understand there's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus died for it, and ask him to save you. And you can get on the same path that God is, a path that's headed to heaven for eternity. But while we're here, we need to live by his ways. All right, I want to mention 5 of them. There's more than this, but just 5 in the time we have left. Number 1, God magnifies his book, the Bible. God loves this book. He says in this book, I have magnified this book above my name. He says, I've magnified this book above my name. There's no name like the name of God. In Philippians chapter 2, talks about the name of Jesus. It says, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And the name of God, the name of Jesus, is a holy name, a name above all names. But God says, I have magnified this book above my name. And if you want a close personal relationship with God, you have got to magnify the Bible. You have got to put the Bible in your life the same place that God has put it. We need to exalt this book. We need to lift up this book. We need to read this book. We need to study this book. We need to meditate on this book. This is God's operating manual for us. This is God's love story to us. This is everything that God wants us to know. It's in the covers of this book. And we need to spend time every day, every day, every day in the Word of God. That's one of God's ways. It's one of God's ways. There's another one. God loves sinners. God loves sinners. This will be part of my message tonight. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to come to salvation. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And he desires that so much. That's one of his ways so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross for sins that he did not commit, to pay for every one of our sins. How much do we want the same thing? How concerned are we about sinners that are headed for hell? That will determine how close we are to God. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we're going to have a relationship, a close relationship with him, that's what we need to be about. Seeking and leading those that don't know Christ to salvation. A way of God. Number three, God loves the poor, unwanted, and unloved. He loves the widows, the orphans, the homeless, the elderly. He loves those little kids in Africa that don't have clean water to drink. He loves those little kids around the world that don't have shoes to wear. He loves those families around the world that don't have enough to eat. He loves those little children that are going into sexual slavery. He loves the little children that don't get Christmas boxes unless somebody comes with a box from Operation Hope and gives them a Christmas gift. God loves those people. And if we're going to be in the ways of God, we've got to love them the same way. We've got to love them the same way. Number four, quickly, God forgives. God says, I will forgive you. You come to Christ. You come to my son, and I'll forgive you of every sin. Oftentimes, those words are foreign to us. Oftentimes, we say, hey, you got me. I'm going to get you. You did this to me. I'm going to retaliate. Peter one time asked Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? That's God's number, number of completion. Peter thought he was on solid ground. Should I forgive him seven times? And Jesus so said, no, Peter, not seven times, seven times 70. And he wasn't just talking about 490 times. He was talking about forgiving like God forgives. How much we forgive others, how much we forgive others determines how close we are to God. And then number five, God puts up with those who he has the power to put down. God puts up with those he has the power to put down. The king of Syria has killed millions of his people. And yet, the Bible says that God has power to put people up, put kings up, take kings down. He's putting up with the king, even though he's killed so many of his people. The communist leaders in China, we don't know the atrocities that go on in China. We don't know how many millions of their people they kill. And yet, God has the power to put those people down. He puts up with them. He puts up with them. He leaves them in power. I can't explain that. I mean, if I was God, I sure wouldn't do that. I mean, if you're a wicked leader on this world, you better be glad that Daryl Manning is not God, because you wouldn't be around very long. You'd be history before noon if I was God. But God puts up with those people. I can't explain why. He has a purpose. He has a reason. But I use that to make the point. We need to learn to put up with people in our life that do things that we don't necessarily agree with. But, and they haven't done any, I mean, I'm not talking about people that commit sin, terrible, wicked sin. I'm talking about people that have different ways than we do. And we say, well, I'm not going to put up with that. I was talking to a lady this week. She hasn't talked to her sister in over 3 years. Her sister. I said, why don't you talk to your sister? I said, no, I don't have a sister. I mean, I got two brothers, but I don't have a sister. But why haven't you talked to your sister in over 3 years? And she told me a story, and she got done, and I said, I can't believe it. I mean, I wish I had a tape recorder going so I could play back for you what you just said. You haven't talked to your own sister in 3 years for this? And I used the word petty. I said, for this little petty thing? And she said, preacher's not petty to me. I said, what do you think it is to God? What do you think it is to God? It's petty. I'm sorry. It's petty in God's sight. It's not worth the relationship with your sister being broken apart. It's not worth it. Why? God puts up with people he disagrees with. They're going to end up in hell one day because they haven't received Christ. They're not living by God's ways, but he puts up with them. Can't we do the same thing? Can't we do the same thing? This morning, get on the right path. The right path leads to heaven. And the only way to get on that path is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, admit your sin, and ask him to save you. And then we need to do like David, and we need to say to God, show me thy ways. I've mentioned a few of them this morning. There's more. You'll find them in this book. Show me thy ways, and help me conform my ways to your ways. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you again that we can come to this place, and we can study it, and we can hear it preached. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray, Father, that you would just convict them of their sin, that you would show them their need for Jesus, and you would help them come to Jesus this morning. And then, Father, I pray for the many, many Christians that are here. We're on the right path. Show us your ways. Show us your ways, and help us conform our ways to your ways. Help us to pray like Jesus, not my will, but thy will be done. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.